bless you. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I guess we all are thankful to our mothers for what they do. They see things that we should do that we don't see, so they are ever our teachers and guidance. Right. I was, back when I was younger, and my mother said, "You have a prom date?" I said, "No." So she chose my prom date. Turned out to be all right. Nice day. I noticed the other day, the prom date had died. And so it's been I don't know when. What's that? I never seen him since 69, so I don't know what happened to her. But mothers make choices that we don't make and we can't make, and they're not always right, you know. It was a nice lady, but it wasn't for me. It wasn't my choice. So, but if mother see you making the wrong choice, she's gonna speak to you about it. Right. And that's what she need to do. And so listen to what they have to say. Right. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Colossians, the third chapter. I think we read verses 1 through 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we're thankful, God, for all that you have given unto us. Lord, we ask you to bless all the mothers that is present. Lord, grace their hearts, Father, with understanding and teaching and raising their children. Father, we pray that they will stop and listen and hear what she has to say. God, for she loves them and she wants to see them go in the right direction. Father, let them be understanding and loving unto her. We know that every decision she decides may not be for us, but Lord, let us bless her and be thankful too that we have her. God, we ask you to bless this service this morning and let the Holy Father send his spirit down among us and raise us up that we will understand and walk before you continually. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Colossians, the third chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinance, affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience.
In the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them.
But now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Where there is neither Greek, nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythians, bond not free, but Christ is all in all.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering,
forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful.
Let Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord.
Husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Father, provoke not your children to anger, but let them be discouraged. God bless you. May be seated.
Are you thankful for the wisdom the Word of God gives to us? I mean, it just seemed like every one of those verses you could just meditate upon and just glean from. And it's all in His love. That's what bonds that perfection of Christ in us, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering? Amen. You know, as to let the love of God live in your life, there's one word that we have to initiate, and that is surrender. It's all in the surrender that He gains the preeminence. Amen. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
My future home, and the voice I hear is is alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more every day I live, Lord, I love. Let's sing that last verse. Oh, and the problems I had on yesterday are a stepping stone to a higher place. The trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory. And I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you. Let's all stand as our brother comes this morning.
That's our confession this morning, isn't it? We just love the Lord. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? On this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. So we want to just say welcome to you. And I think Terrence, you've got some cards. Isn't that right? We're going to be handing out? No? Yes? Okay. All right. So look for that from Terrence, I think. So... But God bless you. We're just going to take a little scripture this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And somebody in the back was saying, are you going to preach on mothers today? And sometimes we'll take a different topic or whatever, but yes, I am. I'm going to be talking about mothers today. I think it's a worthy topic. And Lord willing, I'll have something else to talk about after Brother Aaron took all of my scriptures and just everything. But that was really good. I think that just set the stage for the day, and I sure appreciate that. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word today, Lord God, and speak something, Lord, to edify your people, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll just anoint my lips, Lord God, to give some encouragement, Lord, and just pass some roses out to all the mothers and moms in here today, Lord, and maybe listening in on the internet, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've got so much to be grateful for, and we've got so much to be grateful for that you've given your life for us. You give your life, and certainly we know that the reason we've got life here is because that you give us the mamas. You give us some mamas that we could come through and that could mother us and take care of us when we're babies and set us on the right path in life, like Brother Aaron was talking about. Lord, we're so grateful for you today, Lord, and so grateful for the mothers that you've given to us. And we ask, Lord, today that you'll just bless us, Lord Jesus, bless this little service. I pray, God, that you'll feel welcome to move among us, Lord Jesus, that you'll be welcome, Lord, here this morning, Lord, and just be with the little group up there in Ohio as Brother Wade's ministering, Lord. Guide his words, Lord Jesus, and be with that group and bless him, Lord, mightily, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. So my topic today is Happy Mother's Day. So verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I think everything that we do and everything that we say and our whole Christian journey, of course, is based on what Christ did when he died and rose from the grave on the third day to prove that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and to make a way for that same life to be given back to us. So now he gave his eternal life to us. But this morning I'm talking about life. I'm talking about, I just want to maybe just take some time to just meditate on life. I think that's a worthy topic to think about on Mother's Day. You think about in the Garden of Eden that God kind of set up the pattern so that there would be a father and a mother, and those two together would work together to bring life. And he set it up that way. And we're all here this morning because we had a mother. I sure thank God for real mamas, real mothers. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the path was set so that, you know, I'm thinking about this morning, just sitting there in the office, you sit there in the hospital watching your babies be born and all that travail and everything, that the monitor beeping and everything every few minutes. And, you know, it seems like in that moment, what a horrible time as life is coming forth. There's life. But then after the all is said and done, there's a little baby being held in mama's arms. We know the process that Brother Bram laid out, that in her belly, the baby's growing and growing and twitching muscles and everything. And then the baby's born. It comes forth. Well, where's life at? Maybe the doctor will spank it, and then the baby takes that first breath, and life comes in. Life. And so we're born with that carnal life that we give it, that God has given to us, and God laid out that process that we come from mama. But you see, God made it that way, that mama would be first with life. Mama's first. Mama is the first one with that child. All that time, that little baby's growing in her womb, and people sometimes they don't, when the baby's growing in mama's womb, they don't recognize limits and things, and people walk up to it and try to put their hand on the belly, and you know, because they want to feel the movement, they want to feel the heartbeat. But mama's the one that feels that heartbeat first. And mama will be laying there in that bed at night, and she can feel the heartbeat, feel the movement, or maybe not feel the heartbeat, but you can hear it when you put the sonogram on there, and maybe you put your ear up to the belly, and you can hear that heartbeat. And mama's the one that feels it first, and she's the one that experiences it first. And Brother Branham would say the first one that receives you in this life is your mother. No one can touch you because you're conceived and she bears you under her heart. You think about how special a mama is, that all that time that the baby's growing and maturing inside the mama, that it's right there under her heart, and she's going to have a special relationship with that baby. He said she's first. She's the first hands that touch you and wipes back the tears out of your eye. She's the first one to pat you and to love you and to coo over you. She's the first one to hear your heartbeat. She's the first one to feel you move. Isn't that interesting? Just to meditate on that there in the night hours, maybe that baby's kicking her in the ribs, and daddy's over there sleeping fast, and he's getting ready for work the next morning, but he don't have nothing to say about that experience. He doesn't know about getting kicked under the ribs or nothing. Daddy don't, but mama does. Mama's the one that she goes through all that process and all that pain and all that delivery, because it's set up that way. God made the mama special. She's the first one. She's the first one to feed you. When you come out, that I'm sorry, daddy can't help. Daddy, I mean, there's some things that daddy can help. You know, I remember we'd wake up in the middle of the night when Zoe and Kaylee were born, and the twins, you know, they'd nurse and everything. And then Kaylee had always, I could help, because Kaylee had always, she'd get run out of food. So I'd have to go down and heat up a little bottle and everything. But there's some things that daddy can do. But you know, really, it's mama's the one that feeds, you see. Mama's the one that nurses you. And it's the first, it's usually mama's voice that the first voice that baby recognizes. All that time in that growing in that womb, the little baby's listening to mama's voice and hearing her talk and listening to the outside noises and listening to the music that she likes and maybe listening to a tape that mama's playing and listening to her read the Bible and things and listening to her sing to it and everything. And it's going to be mama's voice that baby recognizes. And mama is usually, when that baby's born, it's mama that's usually the first one to recognize those little milestones that Brother Aaron was talking about. The baby will take a little first step, and mama sometimes is the easiest thing for the baby to say. So maybe it'll be the first word that the baby says, and mama ends up being first. I thank God for real mamas this morning. Isn't it wonderful that God set it up the way that you could look back and see that you come from a real mama, that mama took care of you, and mama was the first, mama brought you into this world. Mama gave you life, and she was there to go through all those labor pains and all those things. And that's why I think it's worthy to give honor to your mother. Sometimes people will say, well, my mama talked bad about the message, or my mama said something. My mama's not really even a Christian, but yet she went through all that for you, and she set up your life in motion, and maybe she might have even said some hurtful words to you and done some things wrong, but yet still she gave you life and she raised you up and she set you on the course of life. And so she's got to be worthy of honor. Honor your father and mother, and God will give you long days on the earth. And I think maybe this morning that might help you this morning to think about that your mother really is worthy of honor. Maybe if you don't even think she's worthy of honor, but she gave you life. If nothing else, she gave you life and she brought you into this world. And Brother Bram will talk about how I'll read this scripture in the Bible in Isaiah 49:15. It says, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now listen to what God is speaking through Isaiah. Can a woman forget her sucking child? After all that labor and all that travail and having it grow in her womb and all those things, raising up the child, and it come from her, and she saw it be born and raised it up. How can a mama, a real mama, forget her little baby? And yet he said, yea, they may forget. A woman can't forget her child. But he said, even if they do forget, yet I will not forget thee. And now you're going to see as we kind of go along the scripture how that God, the word of God, is almost like our mother. And you can see how a mother in the natural can't forget you, but yet God can't forget you. Even more on top of that, that God, we come from God and we're going back to God. And if you come from God, how can he forget you? He can't. A woman can't forget her child, and how can God forget you? Oh, maybe this morning you might be going through a bad time. Maybe you might be sitting on the ash heap like Job. Maybe you might forget everything's forgotten about you, but yet God cannot forget you. And Brother Brown will talk about how his mother, I'm talking about a real mama this morning. These old country backwoods mamas that didn't have nothing, didn't have nothing but some coon grease to put on their kids' eyes in the morning to keep the mat from forming. They didn't have no food hardly but some, like the old Jerry Clower joke, some old cat head biscuits that you make in the morning. They wasn't whopping them on the counter to break them things open, but they were a real mama was making them biscuits from scratch. And Brother Ram will talk about how his mother would walk away from the table so he could have something to eat. Why? Because a real mama is going to make sacrifices. Now, we talked so many times in Sunday school and whatnot about how a real Christian life is full of sacrifices. Well, how about a real Christian mama to make sacrifices? And that's why a real mother is worthy of honor. Look back through your own life and recognize all the sacrifices that your mama made for you. All the sacrifices. I remember just growing up, I'm going to throw some roses at my mama this morning. She might be listening in. But I remember when we were little, she quit her job and she raised us. And when we got older, about in high school or middle school, something like that, she did go back to work. But we'd come home. And I remember when I was a kid, just always thinking, like, she'd work as a school teacher. And then she'd come home and she would cook dinner for us. Like, I remember thinking, she cooked okra and chopped steak and mashed potatoes every night. And it was like, what? I'm talking about sacrifices now. sacrifices, because it's a real mama is going to sacrifice for her children. When she's tired, she's going to pray at night. When she's tired, she's going to sit around that, like that fifth gospel that Brother Aaron was talking about, and sit her children around her knees like Mama Wesley, John Wesley's mama. Gather all the kids around so that to kind of give them a little Bible story and teach them. That's a real mother. A real mama is going to make sacrifices. And that's why they're worthy of honor. Why? Because a real mother, there's something in a real mother that she just loves life. She loves even, you know, when we just, I got three daughters, and there at the house, we got all these little animals and things. And we got little rabbits and a little Chihuahua dog, and you know, but why? Because there's something in these little girls. The girls will just take the little rabbit and they'll hold it, you know, and they take the Chihuahua dog and put it like a little baby. Why? Because there's something in a girl that she wants to be a mama. And that's nothing to be ashamed about now. Well, one of my girls was telling me the other day, you know, you talk about what do you want to do in life and whatnot. One of my girls was telling me the other day, I want to be a mama. You know, the rest of the world thinks that ain't nothing good about that. But I think that's something to put up on the pedestal, because that's one of the to have a desire to bring life into the world and mother it and set it on the right course of life. That's something to be admired. And you see, a real mama loves life. A real mama. Now, it might be troublesome to go through all those labor pains and hear that monitor beeping in her ear when she's in the hospital with the baby coming forth, but yet she loves life. And you see these fake mamas, these unreal mamas, like I saw in the news the other day. This woman took her baby and put it in a garbage bag and put it behind a Walmart or something, because that's not a real mama. A real mama, like Jochebed praying down in Egypt, while all the, Brother Branham said, they were witches gathering up all the Israelite babies and trying to kill them and stuff. That ain't a real mama. But Brother Branham would say, how mother lives little babies, how she puts him on the chin. Mother would wash you. Now, you think about it. Just picture this in your mind now. Mama just loves the little babies, because there's something in her. She's going to pick that little baby up and just put it right up under her chin and hold it all through the midnight hours, losing sleep, because there's something in her that she just, that's how she's made. Mother would wash you and kiss you and would say how pretty you was and put you to bed at night. If a little door would be open, a little draft coming through, something like that, she'd run real quick and shut the door, cover up the little baby. And you know she'd taken it. She loved you. See? She loved you. She loved that poor little thing that God had given her that was helpless and it couldn't help itself. So she loved that little baby. And she'd just kiss her little babies and play with them, because she was a real mother. Oh, that's a real mama that'll gather up her little baby and every 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the night to keep waking up, and mama's there to feed it and take care of it and swallow it and change its diapers and all those things. A real mother. Down in Egypt, Jochebed praying down in, oh, that's a real mother. A real mother that would pray that God would give her a child and pray that God would lead her. And pray. And Brother Brown would say those old witches would go in there that killing babies and take their little feet and bang them up against the wall and kill them and throw them in the crocodiles. The poor mother would get on her knees and she'd cry, oh, don't take my baby. Don't take my baby. Oh, what a time they were having. That's unreal mothers. But there's something in a real mother that wants to take care of life. Now, I want to say this morning that, sisters, there's where you're fine. You know, everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got a calling in their life. And sisters, this morning, there's where you'll find your real calling and your real purpose to bring life into the world. And I like how Brother Aaron was framing it this morning, that maybe in your life you never had the opportunity to have children. Maybe you're a stepmother and all those things. We're putting all that under the umbrella of mothers this morning, because maybe you're an aunt, and you know sometimes these large families, mama can't really be their mother. You know, if you got 12 kids or 9 kids or whatever running around, and an older sister will step in, and maybe that sister don't really have any kids of herself, but yet she's still a mama. I remember Monica. Monica talking about one, or she's got one of her older sisters that would change their diapers, and she was the mama, and, you know, and it almost like she had a different relationship with that sister than the other sister, because she was more like a mama. So that's what I'm putting all that under that umbrella. I'm not trying to put nobody out. Your mom, but being a mama, taking care of that life, taking care, that is where you'll find your real calling and purpose. Now, that's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:15, when he said, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And that's one of them scriptures that we stumble over a lot of times. Am I going to be saved because I have children? But listen to what Brother Branham said. He said, not by having a baby makes her saved, but because that she's raising children, doing her duty. Oh, when you find yourself falling in line with your purpose, and your purpose, this is your purpose. Oh, that's why we give real honor to these sisters, because you're right in line with what God wants you to do. And listen what he said. He said, not raising cats, dogs, and what more to take the place of a child as they do today, giving it a mother's love so that she can go out and run around all night. Some people do that. Sorry, but they do it. That's awful rude for me to say, but the truth is the truth. They don't want a baby to be tied down with it. Now, there's a real mother that don't mind being tied down by a baby. They don't mind it. But you see, my girls, they go home and they pick up them rabbits and things and the little chihuahua dog, and there's a time and a place for that. But one day, they'll come to a place of maturity and where life will just fall into place, where they'll be able to fulfill the purpose in life that God has raised them up for. And they'll be able to hold a baby in their arms. But, you know, you see, you grow up, and when you trade that purpose, well, I'd rather have some little froofy dog instead of having a baby. I'd rather hold a little froofy dog in my arms and baby that thing and push it around in a little stroller and put nappy diapers on it and all sorts of nonsense like that. You see, you're betraying the purpose and the calling that God has for your life. He said they don't want a baby to be tied down with it. But in childbearing, if she continues in faith, holiness, and all sobriety, she'll be saved. Why? Because she's doing what God called her to do. And God called your sisters to be a mother. May mothers be real mothers this morning. May Brother Brown will say, may they dismiss that babysitter. Oh, some of these things are a little bit rough, ain't it? may they dismiss that. And I don't think any of us this morning are like so wealthy and well off that we just got a nanny there all the time to do the mothering and all that stuff for us. But certainly what he's saying is let's be real mamas and take care of our kids, because God raised us up for that purpose. Keep away from the barroom and throw down those cigarettes and dress like a mother ought to and be a real mother. And a real mother is worthy of honor. In Ephesians 6:2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, you think that all these commandments going down the list, thou shalt not, and then it gets to honor thy father and mother, and there's a promise that goes with it. Praise the Lord. My life can be extended. Amen. If you want a long, happy life, honor your father and mother. And then you begin to realize how really evil it is to look at your father and mother with reproach and do them dishonor and look at them with hatefulness and things, knowing that they brought you into the world and they went through all those labor pains and sacrificed and labored early on in their life and maybe walked away from the table so you could have something to eat and not give them honor. Honor your father and mother. And Brother Ram will say there is not enough honor that we could give to a mother. Which is why we're speaking on these things this morning. Brother Brown will say what that child will be based upon the way that mother starts that child on the path that it must travel. Mother has the responsibility from God to place that child on the right road. And I think that's why mothers has a special little touch. Now, maybe this morning you might think that you don't really have nothing to do in the great plan of God, but you think that you're like sitting back there with that little child and you can point it in the right direction and say, go. You can set it up and get it situated. Maybe that child's going to be a minister one day. Maybe that child's going to lead many people to Christ. Maybe that child's going to have a great purpose one day. or whatever it is. Maybe its purpose is going to be to be a businessman, to help the church, to be able to send money overseas to be to missionaries or whatever. But whatever the purpose is, that mother is framing that child's life to set it up to go in the direction to fulfill the purpose that God has for it. You think about Moses, where Brother Ram said a man like Moses was because he had a God-sent mother. The reason, Moses sitting there on his mama's knee, being raised in Pharaoh's house, but God positioned it so his real mama could sit there and tell him, God has raised you up for a purpose. And begin to testify to him and witness to him that your father and I prayed for you, and we were calling out to God that God was sent to deliver, and framed it up that Moses would know who he was because his mother framed up his life. That's what helped mold the character that Moses was. That's what a mother does, is mold her children and set them on the right path. You know, we like to read, maybe on Mother's Day, that Proverbs 31 that talks about a good virtuous woman and everything. But have you ever read how that starts off? In Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel. And it says, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, that whole Proverbs 31 that talks about a virtuous woman rising up, taking care of her family, all the things she does, that whole proverb is about something that King Lemuel's mama taught him. That King Lemuel's mama framed up his path and set things in motion so one day King Lemuel could be writing that down because his mama taught him. In Proverbs 31:26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. Now, there's a good mama. And when you need some counsel and you need some advice, you can turn to your mama and she'll guide you on something that's happening in the schoolyard, how to deal with a bully, how to deal with some kind of problem in your life, how to deal with that young girl or that young boy that the children are talking to. They can turn to mama and say, well, what should I do in this situation? And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Why? Because she's setting the course of that child's life. And you look back to a real good, godly mama, and she'll frame up the way that the children are so that everybody else can look at them and say, they were raised right. Now, isn't that a mama's, that's the ultimate testimony. That child was raised right. When you can look at somebody that says yes, sir, no, sir, that's respectful of their elders, that honors their father and mother, it's because that mama trained up the child. That's what Proverbs 22:6 says. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Get them pointed in the right direction. Get them framed up so that when they're young, they can see mama and daddy praying. They can see a godly house. Get them framed up in their way. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, I can't tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. And Charles Spurgeon said this. Now, I love this quote. Listen to this now. He said, I remember on one occasion her praying this. Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it won't be from my ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ. As Spurgeon said, that thought of a mother's bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience and stirred my heart. Now, that's a real mother. Is she going to lay the truth down? If at the end of the road, after all I've done and all the travail of my life, that my children get there at the end of at the judgment and say, well, I just never believed in Jesus, that she's just going to have to bear a swift witness against them. That even mama would do that. No, that sounds harsh. That sounds rough. But thank God for a real mama that will lay the truth out like that. You know, I think sometimes what really bears a good impression on young people is when they can hear somebody praying through the door. Hear those prayers coming through the closet door or the down the hall in the middle of the night, and something begins to pierce your conscience and recognize that there's a need in your life. And what, like that scripture that Brother Aaron read this morning, your mother's instructions that she's framed up as you are sitting around her knees when you're young will actually be an ornament on your life. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, says Proverbs chapter 1, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, we joke about how when we were young, you know, in the schoolyard, we'd have our gold chains and those kind of ornaments and things. You know, that's an ornament that you wore in your sin and your debauchery and that kind of things. But you think about an ornament that will actually set you apart from the world, that will give you honor and distinction, is if you obey what your mama said. Just do what your mama said, and it will make you different. It will be a grace and a beauty upon your life, young ladies. It will be something that distinguishes you from others, young men, if you just do what your mama says, because a good mama will set you on the right path. Abraham Lincoln said, like Brother Aaron was saying again this morning, I told y'all he was hitting all my points. He said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln had a terrible bad start. Abraham Lincoln's whole life was fraught with, looked like just a lot of misery and heartache and trouble and everything. But now we look back and we say, well, he was one of the greatest presidents that this nation ever had. And it was all because his life was framed by his mother. He was poor. He didn't have no background. He didn't have any education or money or something that could have helped him like Washington had. He was raised in that little old cabin up in Kentucky. He never even owned a book in his life until he got a Bible and Fox's Book of Martyrs at 21. But one thing Abraham Lincoln had was a good mother. And we know, as Brother Aaron was laying out for us, that his real mama died when he was about 9 years old. And then he had that good stepmama that took care of him. So he ended up having two good mamas that framed up his life and set him on the path. And he said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. He said in another place, my earliest recollection of my mother is sitting at her feet by the fireside at night, listening to her tell the different stories and legends that she had gathered in her youth. He said, I feel that whatever may happen, I shall never forget the maternal tenderness that stole into my soul in the darkest hours of my life. In other words, what he's saying there, in the darkest hours of his life, maybe when he's in the middle of that Civil War battle, maybe in the midst of all the trouble that his wife gave him, because his wife was just a bitter pill most of his life. But in those dark hours, he'd remember what his mama said, because his mama set him on the right course. A child listens to its mother. Some little touch about that mother. When it's hurt, it'll go to the mother for consolation before it'll go to the father. Because why? She was first. Mama was first. Why is it that a little child, when it falls down and scrapes its knee, it'll run to mama? Right. Mean old daddy, a lot of times it'll just run right by. But it'll run to mama because mama was first. It come forth from mama. Mama was there to nurse it. And you know, scripture compares the word to our mother. In Galatians 4:26, it says, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Which certainly we come from the word. Isn't that true how in the gospel, when it kind of parallels the natural. In the natural, when you look on you take one of those DNA tests, or you look in your genealogy record, and you can find out who your mama and who your daddy is, and then that gives you confidence. Well, when you're born of the word, you can look back and you say, I know where I come from. I know that New Jerusalem, now not old Jerusalem, not old Jerusalem of this world, but a new Jerusalem that come forth, that was molded by the word of God, that God come, he brought that down from God out of heaven, just like he brought your life from God down out of heaven. And you know where you come from because you come from him. And the word also compares to our mother, because El Shaddai, you turn to Genesis chapter 17, when Abraham was on his walk and he come to a place where it says El Shaddai came and talked to him and said, walk with me and be thou perfect. And it used that term El Shaddai because, and Brother Bram laid it out there, that El Shaddai means the breasted one. It paints a picture in your mind of the all-sufficient God, that whatever you have need of, you can turn to him like a little child that's been born, and you can turn to him for whatever you have need of. Whatever you have need of. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So when we're born of the gospel, we turn to him. We turn to El Shaddai, just like a little baby at his mother's breast, and draw everything that we have need of. What are we drawing this morning? We're drawing strength. encouragement. We're drawing help and care from our mother, from the Word of God, just like a little baby. You know, we were talking the other day about how when a woman has a baby, you don't give that baby water because it'll kill it. But what you give it is that mama's milk. And in that mama's milk is everything that it has need of. And the same thing in the gospel. The Word of God has everything that you need in it. What does mama's milk has? It's got antibodies in it. It's got white blood cells. It's got something called lysozyme, which actually will repair. It will fix things that are wrong. It's got fatty acids. It's got growth factors and hormones. It's got stem cells that will repair things that are wrong in that baby. It's got a dynamic composition that will change as the baby's needs grow over time. Now, you tell me that ain't what the Word of God does. As your needs change over time, you will find in El Shaddai everything that you have need of. That's why Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So whatever your need is this morning, if you need healing, if you need salvation, if you need a little pick-me-up, if you need a fresh assurance, you can turn like a little baby to El Shaddai and draw from him everything that you need. Now, Mother's Day has just become another date on the calendar. It's become, like we say, another Hallmark holiday, something where we could just go to the store and we pick up flowers and pick up cards to give to mama. You know, I was reading about how Anna Jarvis, that the woman that founded Mother's Day, she got so disillusioned with Mother's Day until she actually wanted it to be taken from the calendar, because she began to realize that Mother's Day ain't just something on the calendar where we'll send a little quick text to our mama or send some money or a gift like that. But that ain't what Mother's Day is about. And you can see where Brother Branham would even say the same thing. He said, Mother's Day is supposed to be something that we honor our mothers 365 days of the year, not when it just like kind of pops up into your head. Well, I guess I need to think about mama for 30 minutes this quarter, every 3 months, give her a little call home and maybe send her some money. He said, now, Mother's Day like this is a racket. Make a lot of money out of flowers and things. But he said, Mother's Day should be every day. Not to send her a bunch of flowers on Mother's Day, but to love her and to care for her 365 days and nights through the years. She'd appreciate a whole lot more. Now listen, I know on Mother's Day we give flowers and those kind of things, but listen to what Brother Ram said. She'd appreciate a whole lot more. She'd appreciate a whole lot more. Just sit down and talk to her just a little bit. Write her a line. Pat her on the cheek. Kiss her on the cheek. Tell her you love her. Now, those are the things that matters to mama. What matters to mama is you come sit down beside her on the rocking chair and on the front porch and just sit with her a little while and talk things over and tell her how much you appreciate her. Because flowers and things, they'll fade away and they'll go back to the dirt. But what she wants is you. That's what mama appreciates. He said it'll go a lot farther than all the flowers that you could buy from the florist. Now, that's what the prophet God said. That's what he said. He said, you might have bought roses and cards and gave money and gifts, but mama would rather have you. Think about that this morning, that mama would rather have your words and your conversation and your fellowship and your companionship, your presence, your kiss, your appreciation, because it was your mother that gave you life. She gave you life. Now you think, I think sometimes it escapes the children, sometimes, and myself included, how much mamas love us. How much it hurts them, you know, when we don't call home, when we don't call them and talk to them and things. After all the things that they've given for us and sacrificed for us and all the love that they've given for us, they just want us. They just want their children. You think, Brother Branham would use that example. He said he watched that Ten Commandments movie and it came to that place. I went back and scrolled through that scene the other night and I was watching it where Pharaoh's daughter in the movie, her name was Bithya. She come in there to warn Moses' real mama that Moses is going to come to see her. And then they're having that conversation. Don't tell Moses who your real mama is. And Bithia was saying, I give him wealth and splendor. You couldn't have given him nothing but the slime pits. And Moses' real mama says, but I give him life. I give him life. That's what makes the difference. I give him life. And now mama could give you natural life, but God give us eternal life. And I thank God this morning that because he rose on the third day, that frames everything different. We can look at the whole scene different because of life, because God give us life. Thank God for life this morning. Thank God for the resurrection that he rose again on the third day. Because he rose from the dead, it places us with the gospel armor at the battlefront to take the place to fight. Because he rose from the dead, it frames everything different. We don't look at things with like depression and look at things with misery anymore. We don't look at mama sitting there in her wheelchair or sitting there in the nursing home the same way that we do anymore. Because he rose from the grave on the third day, it makes everything different. Because he lives, I can look at everything differently. The resurrection is the greatest of all the promises and the things of the scripture. It's what everything is based on, that Christ rose from the grave, and it gives us a hope that mama with her gray hair and mama sitting there and maybe in a state of misery and things, it ain't going to be like that forever. It ain't going to be like that. It promises, Brother Aaron will say, it promises the great union of our uniting together again. It promises in the fading away of all sin. It promises the fading away of all deformity. The way they place mother today is a pot of flour sitting by an old lady who is old and can't get up, maybe, and feeble and gray-headed and wrinkled, as sitting in an armchair. You know, you go maybe in the nursing home or maybe home where mama's sitting there and she ain't like she used to be. Maybe even this morning your mama's in the grave and you all you've got is memories of how she used to be. But I thank God this morning that we've got that resurrection promise. It ain't going to stay like that forever. Someday these old, weakened, feebled, gray-headed, broke-down mamas are going to be changed. Someday that body down in the grave, that laying there in the grave is going to come up, and it ain't going to be like that forever. And not only will mother sit there by herself, but all of her family with her. What a day that will be. What a time it will be when we look upon the faces of those we have loved so well. What a difference on that morning when we shall see our loved ones and watch what they'll be. Oh, you see what a promise that resurrection power is, to know that one day everything is going to be changed. Everything, all these heartaches and all the things of this life, everything, one day everything is going to be set in order, and you'll see God as you really should see him. You'll be able to fellowship with him as you really as you really desire in your heart. All this old carnality will drop away, and you'll be able to really love him the way that you really should. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about Mother's Day, and that's going to be a Mother's Day when mama and her kitties and all the family and friends are gathered around and everything's patched up the way that God really wants everything to be situated. When we see them standing yonder, our loved ones, our mothers, our kindreds, all our friends, and to see them in their immortal bodies, their celestial bodies, watching their character, seeing how they conduct themselves with that sweetness and quietness, no more nervousness or frustrations, to see them in standing in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that'll be a wonderful day. You know, Brother Ram said it'll take more than a resurrection. It'll take an eternity to go around shaking hands and finding out things. You think about I was thinking about how many stories that I'm sure I don't even know about here sitting in church, because you don't have time to talk to people. And just in this little brief blink of an eye here that we have in life. Oh, but one day we'll have all eternity to go around shaking hands and sit there on the rocking chair porch of eternity and talk things over. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Things ain't going to look the way that they look now. One day you'll see mama the way that God wants her to be. That's what Brother Bram said. He said, then we shall see mother as God wants her. Then we shall see mother as God wants her. That'll be a Mother's Day. And oh, think about this picture, though. It's wonderful that God can repair and fix up mama so she ain't got gray hair anymore and sit her so she's a young, vibrant mother. But that ain't all God wants to do. Because God, it ain't the picture ain't complete without you. What makes mama happy is you. What makes mama happy is her family. God wants that whole family circle to be there. He said, this is what Brother Ram said, mother would not be complete there without her family. And I hope this pricks your heart this morning. Mama is worthy of honor. Mama is worthy of respect. And look at the life that your godly Christian mama has lived and think about how, what's going to make mama happy is for you to be with her in glory. The picture ain't complete without you. What if this morning, what if there's a loose spoke in the wheel? What if there's a loose chink in the chain? And that chink, that weak link in the chain is you. And mama ain't going to be happy without you. You're the part, the missing piece. Well, it's time to fix that. It's time to run to Christ. What makes mama happy is you. That's the happiest time in mama's life. Brother Brown said, see her kitties all at home. So don't be missing on that day. When we sit down with our families and groups across the canopies of eternity, what a day that will be. Then we'll understand. Now we're resting on his promises. And he's the one that promised it. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That sword is not just something to read about, but it's something with some power behind it. Something that's going to do something. It's going to do what it says. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. Now that same one that is being spoke of there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. And we're talking about life this morning. And in John chapter 6, verse 39, it says, this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now there's a promise that we can trust in. Oh, that same one that out of his mouth went his word like a sharp two-edged sword. That same one that said, I am he that liveth. That same one said, I ain't going to lose none, not one of them. Everyone that I saw before the foundation of the world, I'm coming to get them. If they're a weak link in the chain right now, if they're a broken spoke in the wheel, I'm coming back to make sure that family circle ain't unbroken. Oh, thank God this morning that he promised that he would lose nothing. That means this morning, if you're lost and undone, he's coming for you. He's coming after you this morning. And maybe you hear that little resonation in your heart that you know that God's pulling at you. Maybe, God is the one that's drawing. And when God calls, there's only one thing for you to do is to respond to that gospel call. It's our mother, the word, that's calling us. It's that El Shaddai that's got everything bottled up in him, everything that you need. If you need something from him this morning, turn to him. Because Brother Adam said there's only one way you could lose. That's sit still and don't act on it. There's only one way that you can lose this morning. It's to not do nothing. There's one thing God cannot do. He can't fail. That's one thing he can't do. He cannot fail. He has to win every time because he's God. He said, I'll lose nothing because no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come to the judgment but pass from death unto life. He said, I'll lose nothing and will raise it up at the last day. The musician can go ahead and come forward and we'll close that. He said, if you're part of the great family of God, I believe this morning he's coming after you. So if you are that weak link that has separated this great family reunion at that day, may the God of heaven this morning somehow in a mysterious way unravel those little knots that's tied in your mind and reveal to you the love that he has for you. May you come sweetly to serve him. Oh, that's the God, the kind of God that we have this morning, a God who will love us like a mother will, like he spoke through Isaiah. A mother might forget, but how could God forget you? Well, this morning, I pray that these words will resonate in your heart to know that our mothers are worthy of honor because through them came life. Let's rise to our feet and just worship the Lord. You love him this morning. Amen. We're missing a song leader. We're missing something. Well, Brother Adam would say, he'd say, if there was a sinner who's present now, he'd say, oh God, I've never, not yet hooked myself into that link. I'm the missing one that would not be there when mother goes to looking around glory. I'll not be there, for I've never yet made my peace with God. I have not the hope of eternal life in me, but today I want that. He said he was just asking people to pray for me. I want to be remembered in prayer. Yeah, I think that should be our desire this morning. If we know there's something wrong in our heart. I wonder this morning, I'm not even going to ask to lift your hand or anything, but if you know in your heart that there's a need, why don't you just reach up to him by faith? Let your faith just reach up to him and touch him. Say, Lord God, I need something from you. You know down in your heart if you're that weak link, if there's something lacking in your life. You know if there's something missing. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning for your grace, for these words of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Lord, you're the one that promised that you'd never leave us or forsake us. And you're the one that promised you'd not lose one. Oh, what a blessed assurance this morning. There won't even be one lost that you knew before the foundation of the world. Lord, maybe there's just somebody this morning that hasn't quite responded to you, hasn't quite given up, hasn't quite sacrificed themselves to you. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll never let them rest, Lord Jesus, until they respond to you, until they respond to that gospel call. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just give encouragement to the believers here this morning, Lord Jesus, and to all the mothers, Lord God, to recognize, Lord, what a great purpose and what a great place that God has given them to bring forth life and to mold these young minds, young little children, Lord Jesus, and set them on the right path, Lord, to follow after you. And I pray, God, that they'll be encouraged, Lord Jesus, encouraged more to be more steadfast and more zealous, Lord, to just obey your word, Lord God, and set forth on the course of life that you have given to us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you'll bless the remainder of this service, Lord Jesus, and be with us in our worship and our songs that we sing, Lord. We ask in your name, Lord God. Amen.
Let's sing that chorus, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Take a little time just to praise him for all he's done for us.
Stay.
heard the word go forth. Now let's just praise God a little bit. I think we got a little bit of time just to sing another one.
Oh, I just want to glorify your name.
Tell your mama that you appreciate her. God bless you, saints.